Welcome to International Edition. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington. Ahead, a veteran of the 2005 quake in South Asia shares what challenges are being faced now. Our social media specialist has details, a new report on internet freedom around the world.
Essentially, the report is chronicling, yet again, bad news. We're getting a little less free on the web.
We'll hear about using art to overcome trauma and loss. And singer Adele continues her winning streak on the music scene. Coming up right here on The Voice of America. Relief efforts continue in South Asia in the aftermath of Monday's earthquake. My colleague Victor Beatty is following that story and joins us here in the studio. Welcome, Victor.
Hello, Susan. Well, just 2 days after that major quake struck northern Afghanistan, Taliban insurgents overran the district capital of Darkand in Darkar province on the border with Tajikistan, just a month after briefly capturing the provincial capital of Kunduz. The latest setback for Kabul comes as both the Afghan and Pakistani governments grapple with the aftermath of that 7.5 magnitude quake that killed or injured thousands. Dr. Arif Noor, country director of Mercy Corps in Islamabad, is a veteran of the 2005 quake that crippled the same region, killing tens of thousands. He says the more immediate threat to victims this time is not the Taliban, but their remoteness, making relief and resupply a logistical nightmare, as well as the oncoming winter weather, which comes early to many of these mountain villages.
Luckily, the loss to life has not been as severe as was initially feared. But since the earthquake has hit primarily the areas which are very remote and very difficult to access, even under normal circumstances. After the earthquake, several roads have been destroyed because of landslides and rock falls up in the mountain. And there are still very small villages which are located up in the mountains or deep in the valleys. We don't really know what's happening over there. From our experience, and we have been working in some of these districts for the past so many years, we know that initially, apart from medical help that these people need, food and water, a most important need going forward will be shelter. It's very difficult to immediately rebuild their places or build permanent shelters, sort of semi-permanent shelters. That's going to be a huge need for those areas because these are mostly up in the mountains or deep in the valleys. And the winter has already set in. It had been raining for a couple of days. So that has added to the problems of the people who have now been affected by earthquake. In some parts, it had already snowed. And many of the areas which have been currently hit by the current earthquake were also hit by the 2005 earthquake.
What can international charity groups do, and are they beginning to respond?
Some of us, we are in the process of doing initial assessments. The government so far has, and that's a standard procedure. If a calamity is really big, then the government makes a formal appeal to the international community. So far, the government has indicated that they will be able to handle the situation themselves.
Despite the fact that some of the areas affected have been controlled by the Taliban, apparently the Taliban is encouraging everyone of goodwill to send in relief and implying that they won't hamper the relief efforts.
This is their usual tactic. They try to gain the sympathies of the local population. I'm sure you would recall the horrible incident in Peshawar when more than 100 school children were massacred by the Taliban. So after that, the army has really gone after the terrorists in a very strong and determined way. So even if they do try to hamper the relief efforts, our sense is that apart from maybe very, very small, very, very remote areas, they won't be able to do much.
Dr. Noor says his experience has been that these villagers would be reluctant to leave their homes, even for temporary camps, so there will be a need for emergency shelters. He also expects the relief effort to continue at least until March, when the weather there will finally improve.
Thank you, Victor, for that report.
All right, Susan.
Time for a look at what's going on the web today, and joining me with the details is social media reporter Olin Akisholu. Welcome, Olin.
Hello, Susan. Well, since the news of the earthquake started spreading on Monday, we've been talking about all the photos and videos being shared from Afghanistan and Pakistan on social media, and that's still occurring. Something that's interesting about this quake is because its epicenter was in a remote region of Afghanistan, we might continue to see more photos shared online as a growing number of aid workers get closer to the areas around the epicenter and continue to document the destruction. News agencies are continuing to update the death toll from the earthquake, and a lot of people are sharing and retweeting those updates. The most popular tweet so far related to this week's earthquake from Afghanistan came from Google, and it was about their person-finding service, which helps people trying to locate loved ones and others in the wake of natural disasters through a web browser or a cell phone. But, of course, access to any social media and communication is limited in the regions where the earthquake was hit hardest. So the closer you get to the earthquake's epicenter, the less likely it is that people could actually use this service.
Well, what else is trending?
So there's a story out of Rochester, New York. Monday afternoon, a deer that was injured after it appeared to be hit by a car, it wandered into an emergency room in Strong Memorial Hospital. And it made it 20 feet before getting the attention of the staff. Then two sheriff's deputies strapped it to a gurney and wheeled it outside. There's actually a picture of this deer while it's strapped to a gurney, and that's being shared a lot online. Unfortunately, the deer ended up having to be euthanized, but it's really getting a lot of attention on social media just because of how odd the story is. And also the way that news organizations are phrasing the headline. People are pointing out that deer walks into an emergency room. It kind of sounds like how you start one of those, a guy walks into a bar jokes.
Yeah, it does.
And some people are poking fun at the American healthcare system, saying that the deer was probably kicked out because he didn't have insurance. So really, lots of people on social media are making light of this strange story.
Strange. Okay, thanks, Olin.
Thanks, Susan.
This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
You may have heard that dying people have some rather amazing dreams or visions in the final weeks and days of their lives. A new study by researchers at Canisius College in Buffalo, New York, suggests that these end-of-life dreams are an important and comforting part of the dying process that improve quality of life for those about to die. While some in the medical community consider these dreams and visions to be no more than delusions or hallucinations, the researchers found that to someone dying, they're quite realistic and often very meaningful. The researchers found that the most common and most comforting theme of these visions and dreams were those of deceased family and friends. The study also showed that these dreams and visions became more frequent the closer a person came to death. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor. Hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you and me, we just don't get along. Make me feel like I did you wrong. Going places where you don't belong. Ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages in your passport. Hanging with some girls I've never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. These days all I do is wonder if you're bending over backwards for someone else. Wonder if you're rolling up a backwards for someone else. Doing things I taught you, getting nasty for someone else. You don't need no one else, you don't need nobody else, no.
Why you never alone? Why you always touching roll? Used to always stay at home, be a good girl, you was in the zone. Yeah, you should just be yourself. Right now you're someone else. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city,
I'm not afraid to It's new music right here. VOA.
With Demi Lovato and the new title song from her Confident album. The video is incredible. She mixes it up with Michelle Rodriguez. Go to my Twitter page, Ray on the Hits. I posted it a couple weeks ago. It's in there. It's worth seeing. Demi is going to receive Billboard Magazine's first ever Rule Breaker Award. She'll be honored on December 11th at Billboard's Women in Music Awards in New York. And she'll also sing. Janice Min of Guggenheim Media says the award will honor Demi Lovato for her willingness to share her personal story in her music and her mission. Coming up, 5 Seconds of Summer, Rihanna, and a lot more on VOA 1. Stay with me.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Just like animals, animals, like animals, moles. Maybe you think that you can hide. I can smell yourself for miles. Just like animals, animals, like animals, moles. Baby, I'm so what you try to do to me? It's like we can't stop, we're enemies. But we get along and I'm inside of you. Yeah. You
What about the next day?